Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Boston! Hello, it is Scheim and Garvin with you this morning on the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original. Ryan Garvin, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm happy to be here today. The sun is out for the first time. We have broken a nice gray day streak of about, I think, 63 consecutive Saturdays.
Absolutely glorious.
Doesn't make for a fun commute as you're basically just driving straight into the sun, crossing your fingers and going, I hope nobody's coming through.
I hope you have seven pairs of sunglasses in your car because they're not going to protect you.
No, not for 1 second. Just going, I know the curvature of the road. I really hope there's not like
a car on my left or my
right. Or like
right.
A flock of geese just decide they're going to waddle across as slow as
they're
possible.
They're going to die.
Because their little pea brains don't understand the danger of a Honda Civic coming down the road at 40.
They need to press the crosswalk button.
No, not for a second. So it's great. Everything's fun. We're in free agency right now, Scheim. The dynasty is wrapped up. We are at the peak of the football offseason, some would say. And we've had a big time action, right? Everything is happening. The Patriots rebuild is it's going through the roof.
You'd think so.
What?
No, not the case.
No, they're going to burn some cash. I know. Look,
that's what he said.
Turn of phrase, that's having fun with our friends on the Greg Hill Show. I get it. But they have a lot of holes that they got to fill and a ton of money to spend it. So they've just been spending. You're coming in. You're going to play here. You're going to play here. Everything's good. Yeah.
I wish I could tell you that.
What?
Instead, they still have about $50 million in cap space left.
What? No.
Yes.
Stop it.
Out of 80? Yes.
We're a week into free agency.
Even
with the legal tampering, which to me is when free agency starts. I don't know why we even call it legal tampering.
I don't know why they don't start free agency earlier.
So you mean to tell me they still have $50 million?
Yeah. Yes, I do. And okay, so if you take out the money that needs to be used for draft picks, it's about 40. 41.
That's not what I was expecting. Play the music again. I'm going home.
This is where we're at right now, right, with the New England Patriots in free agency. They brought back some guys, which we like Onwenu coming back is good. Duggar's going to come back, assumedly. It's a transition tag, but it's technically a franchise tag. He'll come back. So Duggar's coming back. Uche's coming back on a real team-friendly deal. You bring back Anfernee Jennings, which, okay, fine, whatever. I think for me the big signing was Onwenu there. You're bringing back Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne, which are great. They're good pieces, good locker room guys, awesome stuff. But then you look at the list of new arrivals.
Yes.
It's slim. Antonio Gibson as your second running back.
Sure. You've needed a pass-catching running back, I have felt, for a couple of years now. I don't think the Patriots have ever thought to replace what James White brought you. I thought James White was going to be an invaluable tool to young Mac Jones, who was also gone. But he got hurt, retired, and they never really went in on a guy that you could check down too easily on third down.
So you got a couple offensive linemen in the building, a guy from Pittsburgh and Chuck Okorafor.
Who overlapped with Adrian Clem. I don't know what the status of Adrian Clem is for the season, but there's a connection there.
And then you also got the Tampa Bay offensive lineman, Nick Leverett. I believe is he a guard or a tackle?
I believe he's a guard. I think he started 14 games is the number that comes to my mind last year. I understand there have been a lot of very bizarre narratives as far as how people are looking at this Patriots team and the things that they're choosing to talk about. And I want to push back on some of them, and this is a good place to start. Oh, you're just bringing back the 4-13 guys? Really? You're just on a race to go back to the bottom? Well, I mean, yeah, not to go back to the bottom, but let's be a little pragmatic here. Let's be, you know, let's try to live in reality for just 5 seconds.
Okay. I'll
you
try.
Need some of these guys. Like, you don't want to have to go into free agency and the draft and have to replace a tight end and have to replace every single lineman and have to replace even more receivers than you already did.
True.
Fact is, Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, Mike Owenu, those guys
useful players.
Well,
like useful players for sure.
You can use these guys on your team.
None of them you say, oh, why did we re-sign them?
Not for a second.
No, but then I see like the re-signing of Jalen Reagor. What are we doing? You have a bunch of junk receivers on your roster already. So you have Kendrick Bourne, good. Mm-hmm. You have to keep Tyquan Thornton, rookie, or third-year player
third
now.
Year, yeah.
Pop Douglas is on the roster. Juju technically still on the roster. The gambling addict, Kayshon Booty, still technically on the roster. Why are we bringing back Jalen Reagor?
These are, like, marginal moves.
No,
like,
I know,
these are the things that, you know, you don't really give a second thought to because in theory, if you do these moves on the margins, you know, the little things that are supposed to, you know, help in small ways, then the bigger moves that you make won't have, you know, necessarily the impact that you need them to have. Like, you can go out and get splashy guys, but
sure,
you still have guys that you need to bring back to be your third receiver, fourth receiver, fifth receiver.
But if you didn't sign Jalen Reagor, you could have technically offered that money to Calvin Ridley.
Oh, my God.
That $1.5 million could have gone to Calvin Ridley.
It could have.
Because apparently, according to, sources, I guess, Burt Breer said the New England Patriots offered Calvin Ridley about $88 million. The guaranteed money unknown. He ended up getting, I think it was 52 with Tennessee on a $91 million contract. But the Patriots lost out on the best receiver in the market. And then, Ryan, a few dominoes started to fall,
yes,
which made me believe certain things.
Okay. What do you believe?
The fallout immediately following Calvin Ridley. Curtis Samuel signs a 3-year deal for $24 million. $8 million a year, we're in on him. Let's see. Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, signs a 1-year $11 million deal with the Chiefs. That's the money you paid Nelson Agholor. Marquise Brown isn't like amazing, but he's a lot better than Nelson freaking Agholor. Keenan Allen got traded for a 4th-round pick. We weren't in on him either. What about Rondell Moore? He got traded for Desmond Ridder. You could have traded Bailey Zappe in a 6th-round pick and gotten Rondell Moore. Would you have liked Rondell Moore?
I would have taken Rondell Moore, absolutely.
He's as good as anything you have on this roster, if not better.
So
you look at this receiver market. You were quote-unquote in on Calvin Ridley, but then made zero attempt on any other receiver in the market, which wouldn't have been an overpay. Those guys were paid according to market or below market, but you were nowhere to be found. And so to me, that just is a clear indication that you actually had zero interest in signing any receivers at all. You're totally okay with what's on your roster, and you're just like, yeah, we're good. Let's go forward.
I
don't need to spend this money.
So Calvin Ridley had his introductory press conference in Tennessee yesterday, and I listened to a good portion of it. And I'll tell you, like, I wasn't familiar with his, you know, his style of speaking prior to this. Never really had a reason to listen to an Atlanta Falcons, you know, receiver, Jacksonville, whatever. And you listen to him and you're like, wow, like, he's a very confident young man. He speaks firmly, and he basically was saying, look, I want to be in a place, one, where I'm paid respectfully, and two, where I'm treated like an adult. And I think that was some shots at Jacksonville.
Yep.
But I listened to him and I go, man, like, that would be good for a wide receiver room that's kind of trying to formulate an identity, to kind of figure out the pecking order.
Yep.
If you have a guy in Calvin Ridley, and again, in the pantheon of receivers, he's not a world beater by any stretch.
But he's a top 32, right?
Absolutely. And I personally, you know, to X and O nerd for a second, like, I don't think he was, like, used the way I thought he would be used in Jacksonville.
He wasn't.
I've always.
And he's still at 1,000 yards.
I thought he was more like a route runner kind of. And that's just it, too. Like,
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
Thank you, Fourier.
I thought that, you know, he was more of like a cross-the-field kind of guy, and every time I saw him in Jacksonville, it was like outside. I'm like, okay, great. That's like a lot of what Devontae Parker did. But again, he still had 1,000 yards, and he'd still be amazing compared to what you have. But I listened to him talk, and I'm like, man, this room, this organization could benefit from having some stronger character people or stronger willed or whatever. You know, like his transgressions, again, in the grand scheme of NFL player transgressions, it's not great. But I'll take that over like some of the other crappy things that a human can do. And it just sucks. The idea that you were there, in theory, if you believe, unless this is a Boston Red Sox, they pull the mask off and go, surprise, it's the Red Sox. We were in the whole time, but we're just saying that just to make it, we're trying to save face with our fan base. If you believe that they were really in on Calvin Ridley, then he's not here. You missed out on him by like $1 million in theory.
Assume you offered $88 million with, let's say, like 44 guaranteed, just 50% of it.
And he ended up getting, it was like
52 guaranteed. Four,
but like 40, right now, it's like 40 on signing, and then like I think 46.98 is, I think, what it like actually boils down to.
And everybody
with
was
the
like,
incentives to bring it up to 50.
And everybody's like, well, you can't overpay him. Look at, break it down this way. When it comes to NFL contracts, all that matters is the guaranteed money. It's the only number that matters. If it's not fully guaranteed, just look at the guaranteed money. $52 million is basically only a two-year deal. It's not a four-year deal. Whoever signs him to that deal can get out of it after 2 years with basically zero dead cap. You're going to pay him two for 26, basically, and then it's basically a team option for the next 2 years. You can cut him or keep him depending on how he's playing. And so it's not some long-term albatross contract that's going to weigh you down in any way. It's going to deplete you of money. It's going to prevent you from getting a guy like T. Higgins if you wanted, or Brandon Ayuk, or if somehow some miraculous way you got a Justin Jefferson. It wouldn't prevent you from doing that, because at most, if you were able to make that move, their new contract that you would give them wouldn't kick in until next year. So then those two contracts only overlap for a year. You make, and so it works out this year, no problem. You make it work next year, and then you can cut Calvin Ridley after that if you need to. It's not a big deal.
The idea is, and again, when we get into like all the after free agency, everything that's going on with the number three pick and if it's going to stay with the Patriots or not, the idea is when you draft a rookie quarterback, you open a window. And from there, correct, because your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, in theory, is so affordable, you are able to allocate those resources to things that are supposed to help your quarterback. That's how it should have been done when they drafted Mac Jones. It really wasn't, and now he's gone. But the idea, and this is the thing that I don't know if I should be impressed or just throw up in my shoes when I listen to Patriots fans, you know, just go, oh, we're fine without Calvin Ridley. Like,
have
on one
patience.
And that's just it. It's like, okay, yeah, now you're patient? Like,
how about be competitive?
There were like 12-4 seasons where like, oh, I don't feel good about it. It's like they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year and you don't feel good about it. But then I don't know if it's just like some there's fans that are fine with it. And like, oh, we've been good for so long that if we got to rebuild, we got to rebuild. Versus the idea of, it's too expensive, guy's not worth it, guy's a bum. The salary cap, like, lovers are having a field day right now because of what the Chargers have had to do, what the Buffalo Bills are doing right now.
Well, the Buffalo Bills still brought back Deion Dawkins.
But that's the point, like, to say that, oh, no, this is going to affect our salary cap, it's a bill that you have to pay eventually. But you
look at the Saints. The Saints kick the can down the road every year.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Patrick Mahomes restructured his contract, and all of a sudden, the Chiefs just magically had $25 million in their pocket.
But if you're winning football games, like if you're being competitive, exactly, Shime, who cares? It doesn't matter. If you are winning and your bottom line is to win and put asses in seats and be entertaining, you have done your job. The resources that you put into that are well worth it.
Correct.
But then to turn around and say, well, look at what the Chargers had to do and what the Bills did. Yeah, they were there. They just didn't win everything. The Chargers had injuries. They fell off, but they were competitive when they were there. The Buffalo Bills were competitive every single year.
I look
they
at
just
it
either
like
ran
this
into the Bengals or the Chiefs.
just to compare it to another sport in the city, look at what the Boston Bruins did last year, right? Yeah. Best record in the regular season. What does Don Sweeney do? Sell out at the trade deadline like you should. Your team's really good. You push yourself up to the very limit of the cap and the amount of money you can possibly spend to get as much talent in the building as possible. And unfortunately, you lost in the first round of the playoffs. That happens. You swing and you miss. It's better to swing the bat than to stand there and stare at the ball go right by you. Like, you have to take a chance and take a swing at something. And so that's what the Bills have done. That's what the Chargers tried to do. And now they're resetting. But you know what? They're still going to be competitive this year. They're going to find ways to get guys in the building, bring back guys like Deion Dawkins.
They're probably going to win more than four games.
Restructure quarterback contracts. And boom, money's available. Like, it's... In the NFL, money is magic. You can make it appear or disappear however you want. It's really easy. Like I said, the Chiefs just magically got $25 million because they said, here, we're going to turn $25 million of Patrick Mahomes' contract into a signing bonus. I'm going to hand it to you in cash, and now I can spend it on somebody else.
The Denver Broncos are going to field a football team, right?
They're going to have more wins than you.
They don't have to pawn off a piece of their of the stadium. They don't have to like sublet their parking lot in order to pay the bills because of $85 million of dead cap from Russell Wilson. They're still going to be able to play. Okay,
yep,
good. Because the way people talk about the salary cap, it's like you're in cap jail, in cap
it's
hell,
not a hard
and there's
cap,
nothing
people.
You can do about it. The Chargers, I have heard, are in cap jail, and I bet they're going to go out and probably win a minimum 6 to 7 games next year because they have a quarterback and they have offensive weapons that they can rely on.
So we got started with Patriots free agency here. I want to pivot into basically how that relates to their upcoming draft, the fallout of what is going on around them with other NFL teams getting ready for the NFL draft. We'll talk about that next. We'll also hit on a couple other things when it comes to, you know, the coaches and the everything in place here. I have a broader question I want to ask you coming up. 617-779-7937. If you're concerned about the Patriots' approach to free agency, tell us. Let us know how mad you are, how fine you are. If you're okay being patient, I want to hear it. I want to know why you're okay with being patient, because it makes no sense to Ryan or I. And Joe Braverman right now is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Let's go to the Bruins as they return to TD Garden. They'll host the Flyers tonight. Puck drop for 7 o'clock. Bees are coming off an overtime win in Montreal Thursday night, thanks to Jake DeBrus. As for the Celtics, their next game will be tomorrow evening in the nation's capital against the Wizards. Left tackle Tyron Smith, whom the Patriots had quote-unquote interest in, is signing with the New York Jets on a one-year deal with a base salary of $6.5 million. That can go up to $20 million based on incentives. Jimmy Garoppolo becomes the new backup in L.A. as he signs with the L.A. Rams. And the Steelers are trading quarterback Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles for a 3rd and 7th round pick. Also of note, Rams defensive end Aaron Donald announced his retirement at age 32. Red Sox defeated the Twins last night, 8-5 your final score. Rafael Devers and Jaron Duran among those with home runs. Garrett Whitlock threw a shutout over 4 1/3 innings. Kenley Jansen did allow 3 earned in his 2/3 of an inning. Spring training continues today as the Sox play the Braves in their spring breakout game. That means you'll see the best prospects from Boston and Atlanta. You can hear Will Fleming and Rob Bradford on the call today at 105 right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. And championship week wraps up in men's college basketball this weekend. 3 of the top 10 teams lost last night as Tennessee, Arizona, and Kentucky were upset in their conference tournament games. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of the Big East Finals between Marquette and UConn tonight right here again, 93.7 FM, beginning at 6:15, following KJ and Lions. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
New England, to me, feels stuck. Like, they are taking one. Everything that I've heard seems to be they are committed to staying at three. They wanted an $8 to $10 million quarterback. They got that Jacoby Brissett, and they're going to take the guy of the future there at three.
This is the WEEI Producer Show on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, and that was the one and only Daniel Jeremiah, my guy, move the sticks. On the Zach Gelb Show, talking about the New England Patriots and what he expects from them in the NFL draft. And it's interesting because I hear that and I'm like, okay, yeah, it makes sense. I also kind of hope that they just stick at three and take a quarterback. But, Ryan, then you take a look around the NFL, what's going on. The Minnesota Vikings yesterday reached a trade agreement with the Houston Texans. Minnesota sent 2 seconds and like a sixth to Houston and received the 23rd overall pick and a seventh. And so now Minnesota is in possession of the 11th and the 23rd pick in the first round of the NFL draft, clearly with a desire and hope that they are going to be able to move up, my guess, is to number three in the NFL draft with your New England Patriots. First of all, is that what you expect out of the Vikings as well? And two, would you trade out of three?
I expect the Vikings are absolutely trying to move up. I mean, everything that you just outlined, Shine, points to it. Also, the fact that they don't have a quarterback anymore.
Correct.
Sam Darnold, I guess, would be a serviceable backup.
Yep. But just like Jacoby Brissett, same thing. See, I think he was $10 million, Sam Darnold.
That team has some very nice weapons on offense. They've got some wonderful wide receivers that I wish the Patriots could get their fingers on, but that's probably not going to happen. So you've got all the ready-made pieces available for...
I'm sorry, you can't say Vikings are wonderful. N'Keal Harry is in that receiver group.
Okay, but so is Justin Jefferson.
And Jordan Addison and KJ Osborne. And TJ Hawkinson will come back from injury. Like, that team's good.
N'Keal is like some bird poop on a Maserati. It'll wash off. So you have, in
bird
theory...
poop on a Maserati.
Yeah, when it rains, you won't even know it's there. It'll be gone. So... back to what I was saying. So you have like the pieces in place for a quarterback of borderline any level to step in and in theory have some success. So I'm sure the Vikings look at it and go, well, shoot, Kirk Cousins isn't coming back. We weren't going to pay him what he wanted. So let's go get young. Let's go, as I was talking about in the first segment, let's open up that window for us. Now, as far as are they going to move up to three or four, I don't know why I feel this way, but I really, because you know why, Shime? Because it'll just be more fun to lose my mind on draft night when they trade out of the third pick. But I as it stands right now, I am going to stick with what Daniel Jeremiah just told Zach Gelb, is that the plan for the Patriots is to stick with that number three pick and draft a quarterback. Because sometimes you really want to hope it's the Occam's razor thing. The simplest explanation is the obvious one. There are three quarterbacks. You need a quarterback, and you have the third pick. Therefore, you should take a quarterback with the third pick because there are three available.
Good logic. I don't disagree. However,
pretty sound.
However,
don't poke holes in my logic.
They also didn't get Calvin Ridley.
No.
They didn't get Tyron Smith. No, so you also need a starting receiver and a starting left tackle.
Yeah, you do.
So you need a lot. 11 and 23 would help. You could get a legit number one receiver and a legit tackle with those picks easily. And then you get a first round pick next year, probably on top of all that. And you have 34 in the second round. So like two or three picks into the second round.
Shut up. Stop making sense.
I mean, to me, here's the thing. And this is kind of post missing out on Calvin Ridley and Tyron Smith, indicates to me that it's even more likely you trade down. I just look at it as the NFL GM's number one job is to keep the job. That's all they care. That's the first thing they care about. Keep
is
the job.
Just a sidebar on that. Is it the GM's job to keep the job that they technically don't have in the first place?
True. Yeah, they are going to interview GM candidates afterwards.
They're general managers.
So maybe they don't want to put a quarterback decision on Elliott Wolf then. Or maybe he doesn't want that responsibility because if the quarterback doesn't pan out, the new GM is going to can his ass in 2 months. And so I look at it and I go, that's a big risk for Elliott Wolf to take. And so the only way they take a quarterback is if Robert Kraft is bang, bang. Elliott, I need you to take a quarterback. That's the only way they're taking a quarterback, I feel like, at this point, because it's too big of a risk for a guy like Elliott Wolf, who clearly isn't even the GM. And so if the pick is bad, we'll lose his job in 6 months anyways. And they're better off just acquiring talent at other positions and stockpiling draft picks and then let the guy who becomes the GM eventually make the quarterback decision when the time comes.
Some of what you said it makes some sense.
It's infuriating.
You can sensical. Find some talent if you trade down and you build up your draft capital and all that crap. I understand all that. But what I would say is, you wouldn't have to do all of that if you would just understand the market. If you would understand that the great aspects of being a Patriot, they're all gone. They're all gone now.
You're telling me Tom Brady left?
Tom Brady's gone.
Bill Belichick
been gone. Bill Belichick been gone.
Ah, jeez.
They
do have a new lighthouse.
Yeah, they do. It's great. The landlocked lighthouse. Congratulations.
Gotta go ring that bell.
Oh, is there a cranberry bog here? Nope. Football
hey, look, it's
stadium.
Kenny Chesney.
Awesome. Great. See you in September. The idea that you could do these things to build your draft capital makes sense. And I feel like I've just been riding this roller coaster with this number three pick of, you know what? The responsible, practical thing is to go, and it is to get as many pieces as you can. So trading down would be the smart thing to do. And then I think 2 weeks ago when I was last on with you, I was saying, I want the shiny object. Yep. I want the best player available.
Marvin Harrison Jr., which I think now is almost the least likely option. If to me, it's either draft a quarterback or trade out. I don't think there is, because of your quarterback situation as currently constituted, unless tomorrow you go and trade for Justin Fields, then I might believe a Marvin Harrison pick is in play. But without a legitimate quarterback, what's the point of drafting Marvin Harrison?
Instead
of just acquiring assets.
Well, and this is the thing that I keep coming back to. It's not, you're not locked in. If you draft a quarterback and he doesn't work out, you can go and get another one.
Look at what the Cardinals did with Josh Rosen.
That's exactly the example that I keep coming back to. Josh Rosen was a top 10 pick. And I always believed that if you couldn't find the quarterback and you wasted a high draft pick on that, it was the ultimate setback. Are the Cardinals this amazing franchise? No, of course not. But you know what they have that the Patriots haven't had for at least 3 to 4 years now? A quarterback that, one, is at least entertaining. He's fun to watch. He sits down. He can run around and throw the ball down the field.
That's
a lot of fun if you want to spend, not
I would
waste
go watch
your
that.
Sundays. Oh, thank you. I think I'd go watch that, too.
A nice fall day in
Take
Foxborough.
My money.
Yeah.
They have wide receivers. They have an offense. So it didn't end up burying them, and they found Kyler Murray. They drafted Kyler Murray, and congratulations. Whether you like Kyler Murray or not, he ended up getting a second contract. So
a big one.
It's a fat contract. So it didn't end up ruining them because they drafted Kyler Murray the very next year. I still believe you should draft the quarterback because then at least you will know. You are rebuilding. There's no doubt about it. You are rebuilding right now. So at least if you have, I don't even want to call it like the shiny hood ornament because you need a quarterback. You don't have, right now the plan
is. You literally
is,
need an engine in your car.
Plan A is draft the quarterback, Jacoby Brissett as your backup. Plan B is trade out, maybe get a tackle, maybe
Michael
get a
Penix
wide receiver.
34?
I guess if you wanted to, but then again.
Or 23?
I would go, what's the point then? What is the point? You had an opportunity. You wanted a quarterback. You could have taken one right there and had a in theory, great one.
Didn't want one that bad.
But and then that's just it. How badly do you want one if you're like, well, we'll wait for Michael Penix. You know, he's day-old bread. He's a dented soup can. Look, I watched the kid. He was talented, but he's got a ton of injuries.
Dented soup can. Yeah, so to be fair.
Day-old bread.
To his credit,
though. But just real quick, plan B then now turns into friggin' Jacoby Brissett. Maybe Michael Penix at 34, but Bailey Zappe. That's just it. And I go back to what we were saying in the first segment. Bailey Zappe has value. Why didn't you go and try to get Rondale Moore with him? Why didn't you go and try to get a fourth round pick with him? So I look at these things, and one of them has to conflict with the other. You have two quarterbacks in this room already. You're paying $8 million for a guy that I wanted, by the way. I wanted Jacoby Brissett to come back because I thought the plan was to go get Jaden freaking Daniels. But now there's a chance that they're going to move the pick. And I think I'm just doing this just so I can be mad at them.
Yeah, your head looks like it's going to explode.
Just so I can go, you know what? Why did I believe in you?
Well, so
you have done nothing so far to prove to me that you're trying to expedite this rebuild. I'm not saying that you're going to be a Super Bowl contender, which is the narrative on my show in the afternoons. Oh, you can jump back and be the Houston Texans.
Maybe. You don't need to be a Super Bowl contender.
I don't even want that.
You need
much
to just be a playoff contender.
Shut up. You know what I want? In the hunt.
Competitive.
When you go to NFL.com and you look at the playoff brackets, you were in that 7-9, 8-8 tier. You won four games with this dumpster fire of a football team last year. You won four games. You don't need to do that much in order to get up to 7 or 8 or even 9, dare I say 9? But you've already made it borderline impossible to do when you go out and you go, we're not going to pay Calvin Ridley. We're not going to inquire about Keenan Allen. We're not going to take a flyer on Tyron Smith for 1 year. We're going to let him go to the
Jets.
$6.5 million. We're going to let him go to the Jets.
And so I think it raises a question more so on your belief in the New England Patriots. Like that, I think that is kind of what it's starting to boil down to, is they're getting to a point now where it's hard to have any kind of faith in them. There's, like, at least with, like, when you look at the Red Sox, in recent years, they haven't really spent a lot of money outside of signing Rafael Devers.
Right.
Which has been frustrating. But according to history, John Henry has spent a lot. He's been in the top 15 in spending, at minimum, every single year that he has owned this team.
The Red Sox had to work at it, by the way. It took them, you know, trading Mookie Betts. It took them letting Xander Bogaerts walk, J.D. Martinez walk, pick anybody. They had to work at it. And then, obviously, like, the BS that has come from their front office in the last offseason or so. They had to work at it. I think some people are still trying to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt.
Which is insane, because if you look at their history, the foundation of this team is they don't pay
anybody.
Anyone. Name the last big-name free agent on offense that they signed.
Hunter Henry, I guess. Steph Gilmore.
Okay,
but prior
like
to that,
top of the market, like legit number one talent. Like I would give you Antonio Brown, but that was an emergency signing in the middle of the season because Tom Brady was pissed and he was gone 2 games later.
Brandon punched Mike Mayock. He was damaged. He was also a dented soup can. He was day old bread.
And so you look at the market, they never do. They traded for Randy Moss. They traded for Wes Welker. Julian Edelman was a 7th round pick. Gronkowski was a 2nd round flyer of a draft pick on a guy who had major back injuries.
And the greatest quarterback of all time never had market value.
No.
He never was paid for what he should have
you
been
have
making.
The foundation in the last decade, the New England Patriots have been dead freaking last in cash spending in the NFL. Dead last. And so it becomes very difficult. And I don't understand the optimism and the patience that a lot of Patriots fans have for this franchise and this ownership, when at the same time, they're just spewing vitriol and hate at the Red Sox for not signing people. I look at it and I go, all the Red Sox have done over the last 20 years is pay people and spend money and win a plethora of different ways and bring 4 titles. The Patriots brought you 6, but they did it with the same guy at coach and the same guy at quarterback for every single one of them. And they paid below market value on just about every player that walked into this building, except for Steph Gilmore, Darrell Revis, Adelius Thomas, like a very minute amount of
players. There's a one-off right there. And normally you're getting these guys because they're at the end of their career and they want to win a Super Bowl and they haven't
because
been able
to do
Because
they're playing with Tom Brady,
so,
which
they
you
know
no
they're
going to
go.
Have.
They're going to get something. The main idea of this tirade, I think, from the both of us is just buzz. buzz. The most interesting thing about this team right now is that they do have the number three pick.
Yep.
And, oh, my God, what a slog it was to get the number three pick. And I'm like, we...
A disaster.
Like, we covered it and lived it in real time, but, like what Gerard Mayo had to go through, like, every single day, like... I would say you deserve, you should treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Patriots, treat yourself. Have a little fun. Don't be afraid to make a mistake.
You want a new player? Treat yourself.
That's what it feels like.
You want a star receiver?
Treat yourself.
You want to take a quarterback at three?
Treat yourself. Oh, my goodness. It feels like they're afraid to make a mistake. You know what? If you have the extra slice of cheesecake, just go hop on the treadmill. You can work it off, okay? It's not going to be forever. And the idea that there are things that are handcuffing this team from just going and making a little buzz is preposterous to me. You don't have the same circumstances as the Chargers and the Bills and all these teams in air quote cap jail. But the thing that you have to overcome is that, yes, you are rebuilding. And yes, you have to pay. I love Tommy Curran, and I love him for coining the phrase suck tax because it's so accurate.
Yep.
You live it. The weather up here blows for like
the taxes
6 months
blow.
Out of the year. The taxes
blow. The team blows.
Everything blows. Like, there's not like a lot of like upside to being here.
So you got
to
overpay.
As an athlete. But you know what? The fans will love you. You could be a king up here if you choose to be. But again, where you are, no Tom Brady, no Bill Belichick. These aren't like, you know, breaking news, by the way. Like, they've been gone for a while. You are now with the other 99%. You have to pay for talent. Dare I say, you have to overpay for talent.
I believe, and that's the case.
And the things that just seem to cross over with the Patriots and the Red Sox is they're like adamant in not paying for talent at positions of need. The Red Sox needed starting pitching and they needed right-handed hitting, and they didn't do either. And there's still guys out there, and let me tell you, much like the Patriots, they're not going to do it. Don't be afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair.
It's okay.
You got to learn.
You traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Did it work?
Nope.
No.
You drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round. Did it work?
No, it did not. But you know what? You get another opportunity.
You know,
what did we learn? Let's make sure to apply what we learned and not make a mistake again.
Just like in baseball, there will be another at-bat,
but
Ryan,
if you keep kicking the freaking can down the road, you'll just never have to like address the issues that you have, and the plan will end up being freaking Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappi.
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in real quick before the break. Mike in Framingham, what's up, Mike?
You guys keep saying like the salary cap isn't a big deal, but Miami lost Christian Wilkins. The Rams, they didn't get to keep Jalen Ramsey. These teams, I mean, if they restructure the contract and do stuff like the Patriots didn't take pay cuts, it's hard to keep players long term. So I don't get when you say like the salary cap's not a big deal.
Well, yeah. So Mike, the idea is that it comes down to cash spending, right? Christian Wilkins' contract was huge, and the Dolphins would rather pay that cash to guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and possibly Tua Tagovailoa because they have to figure out their quarterback position instead of spending that money on Christian Wilkins, a defensive tackle. I think it's kind of that simple.
Because of the salary cap.
No, it's not because of the salary cap.
It's
because of a decision they made that they don't want to spend the money, the actual physical cash. I don't care about what the cap number says. It's when it comes to the actual physical cash that they have to pay Christian Wilkins, they would rather allocate that money to better, more impactful positions.
So if they could be like the New York Yankees in football, they wouldn't try to keep all their players?
No, I don't think they would, because that's not what Stephen Ross wants to do. He has a budget in mind, just like Robert Kraft, except it seems like Robert Kraft is lower than just about everybody else. And so the Dolphins let some guys go because they want to pay other people. Like, that's just kind of how the market works sometimes. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Christian Wilkins had 9 sacks last year. He didn't miss a game. He hasn't missed a game in 3 seasons. So
he's really good, but he's a defensive tackle.
But like, also, you know, you were paying him to be productive for you. And guess what? He was productive for you, Miami Dolphins. And you won
both teams
11
benefited.
You won 11 games last year. And if you watched some Dolphins games, which I did, and I know you did, Sean, you went, wow, what an entertaining product. I'm glad I spent 3 hours of my Sunday watching the Miami Dolphins. You don't have that with the Patriots. And that's the thing. Like, and that came up with like Xander Bogaerts too, just as a quick aside. Like, oh, I don't want to pay him, you know, when he's 35, 36, 37. I'm like, well, why do you expect to get him when he's 30, 31, and 32 when he's productive for you? You have to pay at some point. And yes, I agree. Stephen Ross doesn't want to pay these guys, but he was paying just in, for this example, Christian Wilkins, and Christian Wilkins played well for them. Like, you still got a commodity off of your investment.
Yeah. It paid off.
It's not like rocket science. Like, yes, it is. It's cash spending versus cap spending. Again, are the Denver Broncos, are they like, you know, are they putting up condominiums in the parking lots now because of what it costs to the dead cap for Russell Wilson? No, they're not. They have to pay it. The ownership has to foot that
and they
bill.
Will.
But it's not going to like directly affect their bottom line, I think, in the way that a lot of people make it out to be.
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Patriots' approach to free agency or the upcoming draft. Will they trade out? Will they just stay and take their quarterback? We'll continue to talk about this next right here on the WEEI's Producer Show.
Treat yourself! I was born in a small town, right?
No, this is Kenny Chesney.
What?
Not Bruce Springsteen.
All the pretty girls said, pick me up.
That's what I said. I was born in a small town, yeah.
This is the WEI Producer Show right here on Boston
Boss
Sports
time.
Original. Kenny Chesney's out there ringing the bell in the lighthouse for all those, you know, mid-tier prospects.
Hey, I've seen him perform. He's good.
Oh, he's great. I've seen Kenny Chesney multiple times. Country Fest is a blast. If you've never been to Country Fest at Gillette Stadium, that's better than going to a Patriots game.
What's the blackout policy in the NFL still? Do you have to sell like 85% of the tickets?
Ooh, I don't know. Ask the Jaguars.
If that's still a thing, then I don't know. We might be red zoning it for a good portion of the season.
Which
there.
It's just insane. Like this, it's so sad what this team has become since the dynasty. Like as the dynasty documentary wraps up here. You're like, ah, yeah, all those years of winning. I loved that. I wish we could continue to do that. No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Are you kidding me? The issues that they outlined in the last two episodes of the Dynasty, I'm like, man, I wish we had those problems. Still the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of all time, and they can't stand each other.
They're still winning Super Bowls. Coming back from 28-3, you know. Oh, God.
You know, nobody picked them to beat the Chiefs in 2018. Fewer people, I shouldn't say fewer, but a lot of people, present company included, did not think they were going to beat the Chargers in 2018. The Chargers were good that year.
And they kicked
and
the crap out of that Chargers.
They smoked them, and they beat them, and they won six Super Bowls, and it's over. And now my life is now spent refreshing Twitter going, where's Tyron Smith going? Where's Tyron? Damn it! He's going to the Jets. Like, that's what... I'm like, oh my God, how much better my life would be as a football fan if they took a broken down, old in football age tackle from the Cowboys that hasn't played a full season, I think, in 4 years. Oh, how much fun that would be. Oh, how much fun it would be if we get a guy that was suspended for a year for gambling on the NFL. Oh, things would be so much better. This is our lot in life now.
Is it just like, I don't. Are the Patriots done? Do you believe the Patriots are done in free agency at this point?
When I saw them tweeting out, welcome to Foxborough, Austin Hooper. welcomes Sione Takitaki. Welcome back, Anthony Jennings.
Back.
Yeah, I think that told me that they're done. I think they were, you know, unless, again, there's some things on the margins that they're still looking at, the guys that would not fall in your top 100 free agents, like maybe those guys are still a possibility. We'll call them the Armon Watts of the world. I don't know.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, splashy things, buzzy things, yeah, Shime, I don't think that they're going to be doing anything like that.
So that includes the trade market as well.
I don't think there's any way.
The amount, I think, I want to say I respect the patience, the level of maturity that I've heard some of the callers this week show when it comes to the free agency situation. But then when you tag it with,
Well, they could. When you start your call with like, yeah, I didn't really like Ridley anyways, but they could trade for T. Higgins. Why? What makes you believe that they would trade and then pay for T. Higgins if they wouldn't just pay for Calvin Ridley?
Thank you. Then that's exactly the point. Like, why? Why should I believe that you're going to do the right thing when you haven't done at least what I perceive to be the right thing since the offseason?
That's the easy fix, right? Like, if you look at the Minnesota Vikings, who clearly want to trade up from 11-3, like the easy fix for the New England Patriots: trade out of three, use those new assets you have to acquire T. Higgins. Bring in T. Higgins, send a late-round draft pick for Justin Fields, boom. You are at least competitive. At the very least, you're going to win like 7 or 8 games, minimum. But they won't do that. That's the issue, is that they would trade down, and then they're going to take a tackle at 11 in Olu-Fashanu. They're going to take a corner at 23, and then maybe, okay, yeah, we'll take a receiver at 34. That's fine. And then we won't take a quarterback. Maybe we'll take Bo Nix in the third round. Does that sound good? Yeah. I think it sounds like crap.
If they get a quarterback, if they don't take one with that number 3 pick, but then they go and they take one late, in the second round or the beginning of the third,
take me to the dumpster.
I my head will explode off my head like in Scanners. It's right there. It's right there. Don't overthink it. Again,
keep it simple, stupid.
You suffered for this pick. You know what? We all suffered. We all, Gerard, Elliot Wolf, Mr. Kraft, we were all there with you. We all watched every single snap of Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi and Bill Belichick. We were all there. It was awful.
Don't put us through it again.
And we don't, and that's the thing. That's the thing. Look, I've been spent the better part of an hour yelling at you, and now I'm gonna try to take a softer approach here. You can fix it. You can fix all of this. Just take the quarterback. You're not going to kill him. You're not going to kill him because your coach has far better bedside manner than the last guy that was here. At the very least, you won't completely ruin him and have to send him to Jacksonville too. But just take the quarterback so we can know if he's good. And if he's not good, just take another quarterback
until
you find one.
And that'll do it for us here on the Producer Show.
End
Ryan
on a high
Garvin
note.
Trying to end on a high note.
Yes.
We will be back with you next Saturday. Curtis and Andy Hart, I believe, coming up next right here on WEEI. We'll see you later.
See ya.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.